Please turn to the Revelation, your Bible, chapter 2. How many brought Bibles? Lift your Bibles, let me see your Bibles. Oh, that's marvelous. We will look at the Pergamos story tonight. P is in Pussycat. Pergamos. Now, Pergamos was a community about the size of Ardmore. It was a very important medical center in John's day with a high IQ. Dedicated to the Greek god of medicine, Aesculapius, from which our surgeons borrow scalpel. And into the city, a group of people exactly like ourselves established a charismatic Pentecostal witness. And this is how heaven reports. A beautiful old hymn of the church says, "Break thou the bread of life." No book on the shelf breaks as beautifully as that book in your hands.
Amen.
It breaks as a rare diamond under the skill of a cutter. Here's how it breaks. There are two commendations. Number one, thou hast kept my name. Number two, thou hast kept my faith. There are two warnings. One, the doctrine of Balaam. B as in boy, A-L-A-A-M. And second, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And there are three green stamp bonuses, incentives. One, the hidden manna. Two, the white stone. Three, the new name. And since we are Americans, praise God, hallelujah, hip hip hooray, I wouldn't want to be anything less. I don't want to be a Russian. Don't want to be an El Salvadorian. We will satisfy an American thirst. We will see how this finishes before we start. The best thing a young lady gets after she contracts is a new name, better than candles, table filled with gifts, music, congratulations, kisses. When she turns from this altar and leaves the advance, she has a new name, and she can hardly wait to use it. Now, at the last report, sir, we are on our way to a wedding. Don't believe any of this tribulation business. shall tribulation separate us from the love of God? No. I'm on my way to a wedding. And the best thing I will receive is a new name. I'll come back with a new name. You say, what is it? I don't know. If I did, I'd start a new denomination. But it may shock you. There will be no Southern Baptists here. No Presbyterians. No Church of Christ. No Assemblies of God. No Anglican, Episcopalian. They're all beautiful names. I couldn't have chosen better names. I'm proud of all of them. Those are our maiden names. But when we return, there will be just one name. There won't be Catholics and Protestants and Jews and Gentiles and oneness and, oh God, I have survived a half century and I don't want any more of it. I want to come back to a big, wonderful family with one name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, when God wrote that book you have, the devil became angry and has tried to write a bestseller himself. Some of his efforts are better than others. Some are pure trash. But he has given us the Koran, Mary Baker Eddy's text, the Book of Mormon, Das Kapital, Talmud. I could name a long list. Every one of these has a single purpose: to document beyond reasonable doubt that the prophet or the prophets, Joseph Smith, Adolf Hitler, Muhammad, Mary Baker Eddy, Mrs. Fillmore, is the chosen agent of God to speak for God. And that's the purpose of the Bible: to document beyond reasonable doubt that a young man, a carpenter's apprentice, is not a son of God. He is the only begotten son of God.
Amen.
Now, honey, that takes a belly full of believing.
Amen.
It's easy to wave your hand. Shout Hosanna, hallelujah. But it takes a lot of believing. He didn't have an office. He didn't even have a Toyota or a Datsun. Never went to junior college. Was only in the big city one time for his bar mitzvah. He had four brothers: Joseph, Simon, Jude, James, and sisters. He had a very queer birth. And to believe that that Jew is my ticket to heaven demands a lot of believing, fellas. So God has filled that book in your hand with total evidence. Let me give you an example. Crucifixion was the meanest death ever devised. And mankind has gone overtime planning miserable ways to die. In early English history, you were thrown into the dog pit. In Germany, they have an axe man. In France, they have the big knife, the guillotine. In Cuba, there was the garrote. Oh, on and on. In Persia, they had the furnace of fire, the lion's den. Mean, cussed ways to kill. We have one state that gives you an option. Isn't that nice? Utah. You can either be hanged or shot. Isn't much of a choice, but it's the only state that gives you a choice as well as a last meal. But nothing, nothing approached crucifixion. It's misery. And finally, the carcass was the property of the state. It had no civil rights. No member of the house could claim the body. It was unceremoniously dumped with the city garbage. And in the case of Jerusalem, between the eastern gate and the Mount Olivet in the Gehenna, where the city refuse was burned. And that's where the body of Jesus should have been placed. But years before, God had told a friend of his, Isaiah, and it's in every Jewish Bible, every Gideon Bible, it's in every Holiday Inn Bible. It's in Mr. Reagan's Bible. That Jesus would be buried in a grave with the rich. You can read that, and if you're anxious, just flip the pages to Isaiah 53. Now, no politician had ever been harassed like Pontius Pilate for means of comparison. He would have been a colonel with our 1st Marine Division. He was a military man. They were always on appointment as the bodyguards of the Caesars. And while he was on active duty in Rome, he fell in love with a member of the Caesar household and married, and Caesar felt he had to give the in-law some part in government, and because he was a soldier, he sent him to this topsy-turvy Israel. And Pontius Pilate hated every moment of it. He loathed it. And that day pulled and twisted, warned by his wife, moving against his better judgment, blackmailed, he finally washed his hands and retired. And in that very moment, Pastor, the most timid, full gospel businessman in the fellowship, Joseph of Arimathea, filthy rich, but so timid, he would not publicly acknowledge his faith in Jesus. That very day, he sought an appointment with the governor. For what? To beg the body of Jesus. And Pontius Pilate revoked the law of Rome and granted Joseph of Arimathea full rights to the body, and Jesus was buried in the richest part of Jerusalem's prestigious cemetery. Now, there is a PhD in the University of Oklahoma. There is a one that can point to a defect, an unfulfilled promise in that Bible about Jesus. You don't need to be antsy. You don't need to go from cold sweat. There are so many proofs written into that Bible that Jimmy the Greek wouldn't give you odds. So, honey, when you lift that name in prayer, when you say the grace over your food, when in the office coffee break, you say, "Thank you, Jesus, for this breakfast roll and coffee." When you say in the crowd, "I am a Christian and proud to be." When you tell your relatives, "I belong to Jesus." You are honoring the biggest name on this planet. Now there are other big names. Xerox. Miami Dolphins. General Motors. Eastman Kodak. But no name approaches the magnitude, the power, the influence of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Mystery, it isn't a picayune-ish little fantasy. His birth record is among us. His tax record is among us. He was here. And so I'm not ashamed, whether on a questionnaire or seated next to some imbecile cussing, swearing, and using his name wrongfully, to say, "Hey, that's my friend. You know a bigger man? You know a better man?" Now, it's not as easy to keep his faith. Not as easy. After World War II, pastor in the Great Assemblies of God Church in Bakersfield, California, at the south end of the San Joaquin Valley, moving, it already had become the largest Sunday school and congregation of anything in Kern County. There came back from the war a young man as callous as anyone I've ever faced, and I've faced multiple thousands of toughened lives, sour lives. He was sorry. Why did he come? I'll tell you. I had great music. I had a group Sunday night, the Western Sky Pirates. All of them professional. All of them could have made a handsome living in Nashville. And Floyd sat there as a supreme guitarist, wanting to be up there, but had a
had fastened on him booze, tobacco, gambling, irritable memories, long years in one of Hitler's prison camps. But one Sunday night I saw God do a cleaning job. I saw God do a cleaning job. It was quicker than a 3-hour service. Chicken. Employee time was absolutely released. Released from his cigarettes, released from his cocktails, released from his gambling, released from the sourness of his life and memories. He was a new creature in Christ Jesus. I want to lay something heavy on you, folk. When you do the right thing, you make it possible for everything right to start happening. Conversely, when you do the wrong thing, you make it possible for everything wrong to start happening. If you didn't pay your tithes last Sunday, before September 15th, the back end of your pickup is going to fall out. Good generates good. Bad multiplies bad. Watch it in a football game. I can tell how a game will end the first 10 minutes. If that tight end drops pass, if that quarterback stumbles on his own feet, oh God, you can switch the dial and turn to an old rerun of Gunsmoke. So everything good began to happen to Floyd Klein. The first good thing, he got the best girl in that big church. Woo! Bible school students drooled at the mouth wanting Becky. Now don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. God gave Becky to that renegade. Then months later, he came to me and he said, "Oh, Pastor, my cup's running over. Becky and I are expecting." And I said, "Fella, you park where I park. And here's a key to my office. And some Sunday night while I'm preaching, Becky may give you the high sign and you'll need a straight line to Mercy Hospital." And my forecast was accurate. Early Monday morning, he called and he said, "Pastor, please get out of bed and pray. Becky's in a lot of problem. So Dorothy and I got out of bed and prayed. At 5:30, he called and said, "Get here. Baby is apparently stillborn, and Becky is in the balances." Now, I didn't have any faith, because I haven't raised many dead people. I preached to a lot of them. But as I left the car and started toward the entrance, my boss said to me, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am." So where God guides, he provides. I entered and two RNs didn't know me and assumed immediately that I was a specialist that had been hurried
And if you have seen mass, you can see the scene. One of them had a mask on my face and a white cap on my head. Another led me, washed my hands, and covered me with rubber gloves and said, "Doctor." And the devil was saying inside, "Quit while you're ahead, Reverend. You're not a doctor. You can't even take a pulse. And wait till the newspaper gets a load of this tomorrow. Tabernacle pastor masquerades as doctor. They'll run you out of town. You won't have time to pack your clothes. You're a fool." But another still small voice said to me, "I am the resurrection and the life." So I knelt in front of what seemed to be a piece of bad meat. And I looked over my shoulder, and through that mask I said, "Oil." I can still see the raised eyebrows of those trained nurses. I could read their lips. This must be a new breakthrough. I didn't splash oil all over that. "Baby, you say, what did you pray?" "I prayed a short prayer that is so simple you won't think it even religious. I simply prayed, 'Jesus, you got me into this, now get me out.'" Casting all your care upon him. I didn't start this heaven and hell business. I didn't start this healing in Jesus' name business. I'm not responsible for you being here. I'm simply a newsboy reading the news to you. Hallelujah. So I lay all the problems on Jesus. Praise his holy name. That's the way to live, and that's the way to preach, Reverend. I stood and extended my hands in good medical style. I knew that nurses are always frightened of doctors. So I roared at the nurses. Yelled at them. I said, "I want to report on this infant every 10 minutes. Do you understand?" "Yes, doctor." And I backed out of that room. That baby became known as the miracle baby of Kern County. He is a beautiful, affluent businessman today. Now, I can't heal babies. I can't even cure dandruff. I might as well be honest with you. Other high-powered preachers claim to do anything. I can't do anything. But the man that I work for can. I want to tell you something, though.
Thank you. doing a little pixie-pop holy thing in a church that denies the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the cleaning of the bottle and the second coming of the King so that you can join the Comfort Club crowd and play ball at the Comfort Club.
But I have your soul! You're a ball fan, fella! And you stand up and stand up! The man who came here to tell you how to do it is going to look you full in the eye. So you are Tim of the Trump. You are Richard Milhouse Nixon. You're dead. You denied my faith. Now there's two warnings, aren't there? Balaam wasn't a bad man. He had more penny cost from gifts than all others. God bless the fine man, rich from the mind. He didn't love unrighteousness, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He was fascinated by the way sinners got paid. He said, here I am, with so many gifts of the Spirit, and my pay is miserable. So he decided to moonlight. He ran a little ad in the personal column that said, have this great problem. And King Billy picked it up and called him and said, Reverend, can you cut juice? Had a little trouble with juice. Reverend Bailey wants glory 50 minutes. Now come along, I just cut the juice. He said, I can do that. Still keep my purpose. And he did be the rumpteenth Sunday to fight on the same day. So, the great day, the daddy fighting on the fight. I didn't write it, but I can read it. He that blesses you, I will bless, and he that curses you, I will curse. Now, he didn't say that about the Italians. He said it about the Jews, the seed of Abraham. And the second day, they were including his time card, and he said, how can I curse with your blessing? Well, he said, greedy and godly, and that's the problem with my profession. History is an evangelist of being greedy and godly. He said, how do you handle it, Dr. Boyd? I handle it in a very simple self-discipline. I go to small churches. He was surprised at the experts. He had laughed at me and agents. He had laughed at me. He said, see that? With your world reputation, why? The answer is simple. To keep from getting windy and wobbly. A man said to me the other day, I was witnessing to him, he said, would you be doing this if you weren't paid for it? I said, that's an honest question. Later I said, I believe I would, because I did it before I was ever paid as a preacher. Yes, hallelujah. Now, the Nicolaitans is a little tougher. If you have a Scofield Bible, you'll find in the center margin, Dr. Scofield says it's the beginning of the crisis. And the two things that grab people are money and power. Oh, God. We've come a long way. The old Dutch Alvin meeting, the Stardust. Have you been to any of our big conventions recently? Any state, like the Democratic Republican National Convention? Have you been to a graduation in one of our Pentecostal churches? Wow, did you ever see Christ? I've been accustomed to that. He was alive. They've got more color down in their guts than the biggest bears on any side. They've got their hats and their costumes. And they move in naked God's doctor's face. Oh, yeah, yeah. Here's some, Mama. He gets his hot biscuits. But now, oh, ho, ho, ho. Oh, he is hot. Have you been to some of our big churches recently? The best of the altar. Now, why is this an anathema to Jesus? Because God passed his life. He came here absolutely without anything. He was born in a state. He said, "Build that mess. I don't even have a hotel room." He was with unlearned and ignorant men. He went to dinner with communists. He made friends with lepers in the blind. How did Paul, in Pentecostal circles, we are still getting Mr. So-and-so, the banker, Mr. So-and-so, the dentist, Mr. So-and-so, the doctor. God emphasizes his dignity of poverty. God is hard. God is hard. God resisted the pride. He resisted the pride. And the worst kind of pride is religious. He said, "Learn of me, and you can move it." So you keep this dungeon all of Paul, just to move it. Everybody who thinks he will have God's word. For the pastor is a perfect one. For the music is a hand-clapping, toe-tapping, simple. With a heart. Remember, God sent his son in our flesh and sent him in simplicity.
Praise God.
How does that get to the meaning standpoint of the Holy Spirit? It isn't man. John reports Jesus to say that the man in the Old Testament was not the real man. It was only a picture. I am the blood, said Jesus. For how is Jesus different? I'll tell you how. One afternoon, many years ago, the Chicago White Sox had finished the ball game. Pop Anthony thought to be the greatest yet who has ever played for the captain was leading the White Sox to a nearby bar for a few cooling beers. And among other very important, so nicknamed after the bandit that the Stanley Cochner won for. He has stolen more bases that year than anyone in the American League. Oh, awful! And as he moved down the street toward the bar, two men, just two men, with trumpets, bent, tight, bowed, stiff. It's time to play a gospel song. accompanied by a big engine with a drum, half his size. He was a talking Negro. Everybody asked except Bill Pitt. He stood there fascinated, looking at those fellows with the bended horns and the drummer. And in a moment or two, they turned. And the drummer hooked his way down the street past the first block, over the second block, and under the scoreboard. And Billy the Kid went in with them. And when he left, and when he came out, God had Billy Sunday, one of the greatest soul winners the world has ever known. Do you believe that God can hide in a couple of big old drum for a boom who is beating the football? Yes! It will be a revelation on that day when Jesus will say, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was in prison, I was sick. He didn't give me to eat or drink. He did not visit me. They will say, oh, Master, when did you see me? We were told at the first Jesus church, it covers 2 acres, 2 blocks in our town, that you were always there Sunday morning, promptly at 11 o'clock, and left promptly at 10 minutes to 10. And you can just say, you Southern Baptist, you assemblies of God people, you actually belong. I wasn't there at all. The board didn't want me. The preacher didn't need me. I was very important at the ball. I was there in the hospital. I was there with the hungry. I was there with the thirsty. If you read my gospel, you see how I was. I was always walking with the sick, feeding the hungry, helping the captive. And you thought I belonged to that starved, multi-million dollar department. I don't. In John's day, they didn't have typewriters or computers, letterhead, printing presses, radio, modern communication. Much of it was done by gesture, symbol. And then for the big games in the Coliseum, the winner would always look towards Caesar. The Caesar is thunder, and up like that, isn't it? Let him come back again. But if Caesar is thunder, down like that, isn't it? The poop, out, down. The baseball umpires use practically the same gestures. And the stones were good. That's done all this good for innocence, innocent, not guilty. A black stone is always used for guilty. And now you have the picture. The one that overcomes by the good white stone. And I'm sorry. That's the best I can tell. I work on my fingers. I don't
in tongues and eliminates the little group of pastors. You don't clear anything up any more than you clear it down. You just clear it. And I look at it. So, in a year's time, thousands hearing it, radio, television, audio. You know, they come on my mouth, which is a lot tougher than English. If Jesus spares me, I will have been married 54 years next Christmas Day. 54. 2 months ago, my wife left me out. When I'm home, as I expect to be, God willing, Monday evening, I'd like to be a little tough. In the privacy of the home, I would say to her, honey, I'm going to take my shoulder. And one minute she stood and said, that's the most boring, terrible thing to say. And especially in front of a lady. Even though I'm your wife, I am a lady. To say to a lady, I'm going to take my shoulder. You're ignorant and vulgar. You should say, I'm going to put my foot down again. See, I didn't know how vulgar I was, filled with the Holy Ghost, and know the preacher. You see the mistakes you're making now? Then I just undressed. Not the best, but I'm in deeper. It's called toward mission. Now, one day I'm going to stand in the bookstore here. That's what the record says. And before God will say, open the record on Charles Morris Ward, what do you have? And the recording angels will say, we're sad, we're terribly sad report. We have 73 pages of bad English. But the whole point where he said don't instead of doesn't. And you, and she said you. Instead of you. And God will say, hut, 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 hut. We can't have a fellow like this, you know, I say. We only speak perfect English. I sent a book to it, and there wasn't a grammatical mistake in the book. We don't use slang up here. We don't say yums or yous up here. He wants to come in here? I'm sorry. What else do we have? And the angel said, you wouldn't believe an eternal father. We have 41 pages of marvelous. Even in 1983, he forgot to go around the whole side of the car and open the door for her. See, I'm not lonely in here. And God's going to say, we can't have this. We only have ladies and gentlemen here. I know that on earth there are two fishing, not one man, but there, there are gentlemen in there. He wants to come in here. What else do we have? And the angel will say, one day he wore yellow socks Sunday morning on the platform. Oh, God will say, that's terrible. My angels are impeccably dressed. Without spotting. God will say to me, Charles Morris,
Do you have anything to say before I bring a decision? I will say an eternal father. I will come to this decision. And God will say, who is your attorney? I will say, I think you'd be delighted to know I have asked my pastor, Charles Crabtree, a Bethel Assembly of God, down the way, to speak for me. He can give you all the facts. I've tried regularly. I've built it the right way. I've never caused him any trouble. And God will say, well, we know Pastor inside, and would you at least say to just a moment, let me come through those beautiful things. Mother knows her boy, and mother knows I'm a pretty good guy. Oh, no, I know. I said, I'm going to take my clothes off. And God will say, yes. God will say, you are one fortunate man. Because Jesus of Nazareth has all right to pass this blood. Now, if you'll be seated, we'll let you attend to Jesus will say, no, I come for this time on the basis of pestilence. And you sent me the cause to the entire earth. You gave to me unknown and ignorant men like James, John, Peter. They were men of questionable habits, temper, bad language. Before I went to the cross, I knelt and I said, and it's a matter of record, I thank thee, O God, for those thou hast given me. And now you put them as a foundation for this. You've elevated them. You have made them pure. And Charles Moore's Lord is any worse or any better than those men. And I love him, and I represent him, and I have invited him here. God will say, if that's the way you feel about it, so strongly about that man, take this. No matter how the miracle is, no matter how bad mistakes can get, no matter how many grievous errors in his mouth, he is your God. To him will I give the right son. So, in the final analysis, it is in him that comes to the cross of the prayer. He is not only God's and let you play an instrument or sit in the audience. Be a man. Not your family. Not your church. Not your pastor. Not your denomination. He alone can give you the right stuff. Hallelujah. And if you're not in fellowship with Jesus Christ, sitting in this meeting today, only the third of them. believer thought of going tonight, a happy man, a happy woman, because he was faithful. I'll do my best for you, Dad. You'll do your best for me. And with that beautiful taste you can hardly say, this is how I remember it's the end of it. I can claim to belong now, and we will certainly know what we can do. And I would listen to the room at the cross. It's a collective question. And that. It is not a whole bundle of long, long sins, Christian all times, and city of the church. But the best of sea and water, the church. And we have invested in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, actually. Start at least with the New Testament, you can have it in eight parts, as the second, in nine. I suggest my last purpose. Number one, things I didn't teach my entire school. And second, Dr. Luke, M.D., looks at the human nature of the human culture. What's the difference? And I'm not even putting my name in here because I don't try to do this. And they'll be moved right out of my offices in Stockton, California, immediately. They have a check, the name, address, and zip code on the check. Right on the back of the check, put it out. You have a phone, with a piece of paper, gives your name, address, and zip code, and everything. And I'll be sitting up here in the background for 5 or 10 minutes to you. God bless you, and love you, and reward you more than I could ever do. Asking you to drop in, open the door of God to you.